Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler, and I'm joined in the studio today with Pastor Jason Atwood, the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. How's it going this morning, Pastor?
Doing well. Looking forward to another broadcast and looking forward to this weekend as we serve the Lord together. And so thankful that we're not the only ones that are meeting, but all across this country and all across the world, people are gathering together on the Lord's Day to serve Him and worship Him and reach people for Christ.
Amen. And what a fantastic fact that it is that we can serve the Lord, even us sinners who are so small in comparison to the greatness of God. God chooses to use us to accomplish His will, and I'm so grateful for that. That's such a humbling fact. So today we're going to talk about a very important topic I think every Christian should be aware of, and I hope that it's one that's very encouraging. So we've titled the episode, Once Saved, Always Saved. And it's a very important concept for many reasons. I think, you know, first, it's important to understand that when we put our faith in Christ, we are born again. And when we are born again, we're born into the family of God. We become children of God. And as children of a father, no matter how bad we mess up sometimes, He will never cast us out of that family. And there are many, you know, man-made religions out there that try to keep, and we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but there are many man-made religions that try to keep you on a track of doing good works for your salvation's sake, so that you won't go to whatever their version of hell that they describe is. But it's important to note that that is not a thing that we can accomplish, and we know it, and I think people in those man-made religions know it. So it's just encouraging to know that we have a God who loves us and who will never unsave us,
right,
so
yeah.
to speak.
Jesus said in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So we know that we are sons, and we are children of God when we are saved, when He saves us. And the eternal security of the believer is something that we believe because the Bible teaches very plainly, very clearly, all throughout the Scriptures. And it is under attack. It's always been under attack because, like you said, man-made religion really, I believe, keeps people tied to their church or to their temple or to their place of worship, whatever it might be, by telling them you have to do something in order to either gain that salvation or maintain that salvation. So, yeah, it's been around for ever since the gospel has been corrupted.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since Jesus rose again from the dead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even, you know, early first century, whether you were with Jesus at the time, you know, there are many people who went and took Jesus's message and corrupted it and started to try to make gain from it. So let's talk about the immediate gain of everlasting life as a result of our faith. You know, again, just to touch on that point, we are always going to go back to what the Bible says. We are a Bible-believing church. We are Bible-believing Christians. And what God has written down in His Word is good, you know, forever. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass away from My Word.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I think the key word in that verse is the present tense, hath, or, you know, as we might say, have. That the moment that you put your faith or believe on Jesus and the work that He's done for you and who He is, you, at that moment, have eternal life. And I think that's an important concept. You're not continuing that work to get there. You're not going to obtain it in the future if you've been good enough after your faith, but you at that present moment have eternal life.
Yeah, it's been said that salvation is a present possession because of that word hath. It's not something that we're waiting until we die and we, you know, get to heaven and have to see if our good outweighs our bad. And many religions will teach that. The Catholic religion teaches that, that if your good outweighs your bad, you'll be able to get to heaven and escape maybe purgatory. But salvation, Bible salvation, is a present possession, not based upon what we do or can do, but based upon, and this is so important, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So salvation was done. It was finished. It was accomplished. It was settled. Jesus even said, "It is finished," mm-hmm. talking about the work of redemption. And so when that took place and when that is allocated to us by faith in Jesus Christ, we have salvation right then. Nothing can change that.
And so not only are you not trying to do more works to gain your salvation, you have your salvation, we can also rest easy knowing that even if we mess up in the future, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. In the book of John again, going to chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus tells us that all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And later on in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 28 through 29, Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So once we're in the family of God, nothing can pluck us out of there. We are the purchased possession of
right.
Jesus Christ, and
right.
and I personally, I look at us. We are filthy, stained, used goods, and Jesus has paid the highest price to purchase us. That's the blood of Jesus.
So. You know, years ago, the evangelist John R. Rice wrote a book, and it was entitled "What to Do When a Christian Sins." And there's many people that struggle with that understanding that when we are saved, we are still going to sin. We're still going to, if you want to call it mess up, that'd be more of a world's terminology, but it's sin is what it is. And so many people, when they're not discipled and taught what the Bible says, they think, well, I've lost my salvation, or I need to quote, get saved again. No, you need to be brought back into a right fellowship with God, but your relationship has never changed based upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important to understand that, yes, we will sin. We should sin less, but we're not going to be sinless in this life, as even some religions teach. There is no sinless perfection. We as a child of God need to understand how to deal with sin in our life to get right with God, but certainly we still have salvation based upon what Jesus did for us. We are justified, past, present, and future.
Yeah, I've heard I heard a quote, and I don't recall exactly who said it, but it's something like, if you think you're too bad of a sinner, you don't realize how good of a Savior Jesus is.
Amen.
And so, yeah, when we put our faith truly in Christ, we are born again, we are forgiven, period. There's no sin that you've committed or that you will commit if you truly are a child of God that can change that salvation that has been gifted to you through grace.
So since we're justified, past, present, and future, based upon what Jesus did for us, and we have eternal life as a present possession, why don't we talk this morning a little bit about this idea that we have a license to sin, or that some people believe that, grace allows us to make these decisions in sin sometimes that enslave us or entrap us and continue to keep us walking on this way that is not pleasing to God. What does the Bible tell us about that?
Yeah, so it's very clear that though we are saved and though we have grace, like you said, it's not a license to sin. And we can see in the book of Romans, chapter 6, starting at verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man," that is our sinful nature, "is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin." And again, just to clarify, going back to your point, that's not that we will never sin, but that we should not be slaves to
it's
sin.
It's not our master anymore.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We've been made free to serve God with our whole hearts. And then looking a little bit further in the book of Romans, chapter 6 here, verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life." And so we could see here that there is an expectation that we should be bearing fruit unto holiness. And we've talked about this concept a little bit in previous episodes, but because we've been freed from the chains of sin and the chains of death, what that should do is remove any hindrance to fully turn our lives over to God and to bear fruit for him, to share the gospel, to get other people to that state. Because really, at the end of this life, we have one of two options. We are either in the joy and in the presence of God as his children, and we live eternally with him, or we live eternally in hell in everlasting torment. And so as children of God, we should love the things that God loves, and we should do the things that God wants us to do, knowing that our own salvation is secure. We have been made free to go forth and preach the gospel to others, to serve others so that they might see the light of Christ through you and through your actions.
I wonder sometimes, you know, when we think about our sin and yielding sometimes to what our flesh wants to do, if we really understood Romans chapter 6, talking about being dead unto sin and alive unto God, man, if we really, really, recognize that and live in that truth every single day, that when temptation comes, that my flesh is dead. And when my flesh is dead, it can't do nothing. It doesn't have any desires. I don't owe it anything, but I should be alive to Christ. And so many people think that when they can, quote unquote, do sin or do whatever they want to, they think that's freedom. But the Bible teaches us that that's actually bondage, because they're bound by the wishes and whims and the lust of their flesh. But when I'm dead to my flesh and dead to sin, that's when I'm actually alive. That's when I'm actually free and living at liberty to serve God, not bound by the chains of sin, not bound by what my flesh wants me to do and by what the devil would be pleased if I do.
Yeah, I think you even said it in one of your sermons previously that Satan never tells you what happens after the feel-good feeling of sin goes away, right?
He doesn't advertise that.
Yeah, he doesn't advertise the hangover in the morning or the broken families because of your sins. It's always here's what you can get right now. But what many people don't realize is what, like you said, what they think is freedom. Oh, I'm free to drink. I'm free to do this. I'm free to lie. I'm free to steal, whatever. Always ends up becoming their master, because once you've given in to what the flesh wants repeatedly, that's all you know. That becomes habitual. You become a slave to those habits.
Well, the Bible talks very clearly, and again in Romans, about whatever we yield ourselves to, that's our master.
Yeah.
Whether we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God or we yield ourselves to the flesh.
Right.
And so the Bible, very clear about who we're to have as our master. With that in mind, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that since we have eternal life, I love those two words. It's a present possession. We have it right now. We should live with our lives in the joyful knowledge that we're on the winning side.
Yeah.
People are depressed, they're discouraged, they're downhearted, they're distressed in this world. But we as God's people ought to live with the fact that we're on the winning side. And yes, we might falter and fail him, and surely we don't please him every moment of the day, but we're on the winning side. Heaven is our home. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we look forward to, as we looked at last week, that blessed hope of him coming again.
Absolutely. And Jesus, you know, just to kind of remind everyone, Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we've turned our lives over to Jesus, we can rest easy. Yes, there's work we can do to please, and that we should do to please and to serve God, but we can rest easy knowing that no matter what happens to us in this life, at the other side, we will be in the arms of our Savior.
This morning or this day, this evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, you have not trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he did for you on the cross. And I want to encourage you this morning, this day, whenever you're listening, to place your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Done is past tense. It was all completed. All that ever needed to be done for your salvation was completed on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And if you would place your faith in him, he would save you completely, holy, and you would have eternal life. It is something that we place our faith in Him and His complete work. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, and we're so glad that you're listening. And we want to invite you to come out to one of our services at Anchor Baptist Church. We are located in Salt Lake City, and our address is 1880 East, 5600 South, and here in Salt Lake City. And we'd love to have you be our guest at the next service. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.